Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to Westwood for another edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. I'm Dave Marcus, and we're pleased to have you with us. Today, we're going to meet a couple athletes from the very successful UCLA Women's Track and Field program, and then we're going to look ahead and talk football in the second half of the show. First, before we meet our guests, let's pause for a look at the upcoming events for UCLA. Our first guests on this edition of Bruin Talk are blazing fast. In fact, it's amazing we got them to sit still long enough to do this interview with us. They're hurdlers, and they can smoke it. Turquoise Thompson and Lindsay Rowe, welcome to Bruin Talk.
Thank you.
Lindsay, you came out from New York to come to California, go to UCLA. What were some of the things that prompted you to move out here?
Just being far from my parents. Not that I was going to be wild or anything, but I just wanted to be on my own and be far away, and the weather and academics here and combined with track and field is just the right combination for me.
Turquoise, of course, you had UCLA roots. Your dad, Don, ran track for UCLA, so I guess it was always in your blood, wasn't it?
Yeah, you can say that.
Tell us about your season. It's been fantastic, and you're on your way to the NCAAs, both in an individual and in a relay.
Right.
Getting ready for that?
Yes.
What is your training going to be like now as you get set for the NCAAs?
Really, our training just in the beginning is really like grueling and just fast paced. And now here, like towards the end of this time, going into NCs, it's kind of just like tune up. Don't do too much for the workout. It's kind of just like, you know, just getting ready. But it's not anything to where, you know, you're going to be really tired, or it's just all about getting you there.
I'm always amazed at your events. You run the 400-meter hurdles. You run the hundreds. Incredible combination of speed and technique. Mm-hmm. When you're working on that, let's say before the season, what are you working on more, on the speed or on the technique?
On the speed more so in preseason, and the technique just comes long after. But the endurance is the most important, which is speed.
Mm-hmm. Lindsay, as a 100-meter specialist, you've got a very different set of criteria for success. You've really got to measure your steps very carefully from hurdle to hurdle.
Yeah.
Tell us how you work on that process.
It's the same, kind of like Turquoise. We're getting in shape in the beginning, and then for me, it's a little more technique than hers. So just technique for me.
Well, you're going to leave school as the number 9 ranked hurdler in all of UCLA history. Does it seem amazing to you to look back and realize what you've accomplished here?
Yes. Just looking at all the women ahead of me, Jackie Joyner-Kersee, Dawn Harper, and Gail Devers, it's just amazing that I can be in the top 10 with all of them. So.
Tell us when you started running hurdles, because Lindsay, I'll start with you. You know, when you're a kid, they recognize that you're fast. But when does somebody make you into a hurdler?
I actually got into track and field really late. I only started running ever my sophomore year in high school. And then I just started the hurdles at the end of my junior year, just as a joke, playing around. And my coach said, oh, you look really good. And so they just started putting me in races my senior year.
And you did pretty well.
Yeah, a little.
Turquoise, how about you? Tell us the factors that led you to Westwood.
Okay, well, the factors that led me to Westwood really were, I just considered all my options. I had offers from all kinds of schools. I took my 5 main trips, and UCLA was my last one and my final one, and I just fell in love with the school. I committed on my trip and just forgot about everybody else. But, I mean, really, it was just about what would match with me. I felt like they had a great hurdle program here, and many great people, like she mentioned, came from UCLA. And I just felt like it would be a great place for me, and the academics is outstanding, so that was cool. And I just had to, you know, be by my parents, that's fine.
Lindsay, talk about the experience of being a student athlete here at UCLA. How long did it take you to kind of figure out how to do it, how to balance your schoolwork and your athletics?
Probably after my fall quarter, when I didn't do so well and my coaches were getting calls and emails from professors, that's when I kind of figured out, like, oh, okay, this is not a joke. Like, I need to get on it, go to tutoring, and do everything I need to do, manage my time well. And
but, you know, that's the story we hear all the time. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's an old adage that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And right. A lot of successful student athletes here at UCLA do struggle their first quarter. I mean, mm-hmm. It's a pretty overwhelming transition coming from the East Coast to a strange place. Having gone through it now, what has that done for you as far as learning about your capacity for personal growth?
It's definitely helped me with the little things like being on time and just managing my time well and make sure I get enough sleep. And sleep has been very important and key. So just making sure that I have time to do everything that I need to do to be successful, not only on the track, but in the classroom also.
And Turquoise, let's talk about your athletic and academic balance. Did you have the same transitional problems?
I actually didn't have that many problems transitioning. I don't know why. Maybe because where I graduated from, it was kind of a Catholic private school, so they had prepared us well, and I was taking some college prep classes. But for the most part, my transition hasn't been rough. It's been pretty smooth, and I haven't had any problems. Academics, they do tend to clash with athletics sometimes because it's really hard. You know, we can't stay up late till like 4 in the morning writing a paper like students. Like, we're student athletes, so we have to get our sleep. So that is the kind of rough part. You have to time manage.
You have a season preparation, but you also have a meet preparation. You work out harder, I guess, in the early stages of the week before a meet, and then you kind of taper it down.
Right.
How hard is it when you've got a big meet approaching to get that sleep you need?
It's pretty hard. I mean, sometimes you might be a little nervous about the meet, and all you can think about is, you know, what am I going to do at this meet, and I want to do so great. But really, you try to relax, and you just make sure that you're taking care of your body and just trust that all the work you did preseason will carry over to the meet. And it's really what you've been preparing for from day one. So you just trust that you'll be fine.
Lindsay, those of us that are watching from the stands know who's leading because we can see the knees come up to go over the hurdles.
Yeah.
When you're in the middle of a race, I don't know what lane you're in, let's say you're in lane 4, do you have any idea what's going on in the other lanes, or are you just eyes on the finish line?
Supposedly, no. We're supposed to have like our blinders on, and because we're starting off on the same line, it's not a staggered start like Turquoise. So when we're starting off from the same line, it's like you're just supposed to see your 10 hurdles and go for it.
Well, what happens when you're in the race? I mean, do you get out of the corner of your eyes?
Yeah, you can definitely see people, and you can definitely even feel people coming on you. So you just probably have to, you just need to stay in your zone and just go for it and keep going.
You've got to, we talked about the steps you need to get to the next hurdle. You've got to really keep your discipline
going. Yeah, you got to keep your technique going. And with hurdles, like, you have to make sure you're shuffling in between and technique is clean over the top. So that's what you're focused on, even if you do get a little sidetracked with who's on the side of you.
Mm-hmm. Turquoise, the staggered start that Lindsay mentioned you have in a longer race. So what is that like? So, you know, if you're on the inside lane, you really see those other people out ahead of you, or are you just focusing on your lane?
With a stagger start, you definitely can see your competition ahead of you. It's actually sometimes beneficial. You can gauge when they're dying or when they're going. Like, you can see what they're doing. I mean, you never really want to run someone else's race. Nonetheless, you can still see how they're running it and see if, you know, you need to step up your game or whatnot.
When you're working out, Are you primarily working out by yourself, or are you working out with other members of your team so you have that sense of being in a race environment?
Generally, I do a lot of flat running. I don't do that much technical hurdle stuff. I don't know why. It's just not there for me. Like, I really do a lot of flat running, so my teammates are there with me. I generally train with the middle distance group, the quarter runners, so my relay, we're always together, and that's for the most part. But when I do my hurdle technique, no, it's like by myself. It is intense though, because like the blocks and the gun and the coach. So
let's talk a little bit about the team environment. Of course, Lindsay, as a co-captain of the team, you know a lot about the team environment. Track and field is such a diverse sport. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've got shot putters, you've got pole vaulters, you've got high jumpers, you know, long jumpers, sprinters, distance, everything. It just covers every kind of skill and body type. When you're in a meet, are you focused on what your teammates are doing? You've still got your own event. As a captain, I guess you've got to be aware of what's going on all around.
It definitely, I try to watch everyone's event. I try to, especially not so much before my event, but after my event, I'm at the throwers ring watching. I'm with the long jumpers helping and cheering and starting the clap. And for the distance runners who are doing the 5,000, I'm kind of there every single lap, cheering them on and telling them to keep going.
The natural question would be, having that experience, does it make you think about coaching?
I've thought about it. It seems like in there somewhere down the line.
Tell us, Turquoise, about your coaching here at UCLA. And you come in at an elite level. Tell us how they maximize your skills.
They really just stepped up the next level for me. Like, I was already at a high level with my high school coach, my mom. And when I got here, it was just like the next step, and it was like a big step, actually. So I did have some technical problems, like transitioning for athletics. Yes, it was kind of difficult, actually. And just the workload is a lot more, and the, you know, waking up early in the morning, like I never had to do that before. And so it was just, it's a new level, and it is hard. Like, you can't say it's easy.
You've earned a trip to Iowa for the NCAAs. You're running in the 4x400 and the 400-meter hurdles, relay and individual. Tell us about your preparation and how much you work on the relay, on the passes at this point in the season, or do you pretty much already have it down? You're just working on speed.
Right. Well, we really need to work on our passes right now, so that's probably what we'll be doing in practice tomorrow. And just trying to get it even till that day when we're about to run, we'll still be probably working on handoffs to make sure that they're very precise, because that can make the difference in time. For my hurdles, I'm just probably just going to be trying to get my technical stuff down, because by this time the endurance is either there or it's not, but the technical is most important now.
We wish you the best of luck in the upcoming championships. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, congratulations on a great career here at UCLA.
Thank you.
And we'll come back with more UCLA Bruin Talk right after this brief public service announcement.
A trophy can be made just about anywhere. But there's one place where champions are made. UCLA, champions meet here.
Welcome back to UCLA Bruin Talk. Before we meet our next guest, let's take a moment to honor our Student Athlete of the Week, Patrick Cantlay. This week we honor Patrick for his outstanding performance in leading the UCLA men's golf team to their most recent NCAA regional championship against crosstown rivals USC. Cantlay shot 13 under par, earning himself individual honors in addition to his team's victory. Patrick was also named the Pac-10 Freshman and Player of the Year, becoming the second player in league history to win both honors. Throughout the 2011 season, the young player won three tournaments, held the consensus number one ranking, and was one of three finalists for the Hogan Award, an honor for the nation's top collegiate golfer. Patrick Cantlay's freshman season has been full of accomplishment and success, to say the least. Congratulations, Patrick, and to the rest of the men's golf team for a season well played. And if you'd like additional information about UCLA athletics, please visit our website at uclabruins.com. We think you're really going to enjoy meeting our next guest. He has worked his way to a position as assistant recruiting director, and his name is Matt Bernstein. Matt, thanks for joining us on Bruin Talk.
Good to be here.
You are wearing the gold today and wearing it proudly. You grew up in New York. You went to school in Miami, but now you're out in Los Angeles at UCLA. Tell us about that odyssey.
It's been a great time over here. You know, being on the West Coast, nothing like it. I mean, you got the beach over here. You got the town of Westwood. That's fun. Hollywood right down the street. It's really been a great opportunity out here.
I'm sold. That must make it easy to recruit when you've got the things UCLA has to offer.
It makes my job pretty easy, I would say.
Recruiting is the lifeblood of college athletics and obviously a very, very important job. But you got into the whole operations side of football just by walking on at Miami. Tell us how you did that.
Being a 5'9", 175 pounds, football was a very limited time in my life, so playing it at least. So I started in operations, and once Coach Shannon at Miami got the head coaching job, they pulled me up and I started doing tight ends and special teams with Joe Panunzio, who's now at Alabama. So,
and after that, you were a summer scouting worker for the St. Louis Rams. You were evaluating NFL draft classes.
Yeah, that was I was fortunate to get an internship with the NFL, and it was a pretty good job. You know, they fed you. I got a company car, and you know, all I had to do was watch college football all day and write up reports.
You were writing reports on players for the NFL. I mean, that's the highest level there is.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you learned a lot about player evaluation.
Oh, yeah, a ton. I mean, I was talking to pretty much anyone that was willing to talk to me, I was willing to talk to.
And you've now parlayed that into evaluating high school players who are thinking of going to college.
Correct.
Tell us about your role here in Westwood.
My role is pretty much to assist the coaches in anything they need. So, you know, the coaches do a great job of going on the road, evaluating talent, bringing the video, cheap transcripts, all that back. We kind of organize that. And then we will have several meetings throughout the year, one a week actually. And we'll go over who we think would be a good fit for the Bruin class and then give the coaches the necessary resources so they could recruit to their full potential.
That has to be a complicated process in a year like this when there has been such turnover on the coaching staff.
You know, it's actually been a great, the new coaches have done a great job of adapting right away. I mean, we're talking about Mike Johnson, who, you know, when he was at Oregon State, signed 22 players in that first class. He's doing a fantastic job. You got Jim Mastro from Nevada, who recruited Orange County, so he was able to transition pretty smoothly. And you got Anoke Brechterfield also, who's doing a great job.
You've just had spring practice, got a chance to look at the new offensive and defensive schemes. Tell us what you saw.
The first thing I saw was definitely on defense. You know, it's no longer going to be a defensive line holding up and trying to hold the point of attack. It's going to be a downfield attack. I'm seeing Coach Brechterfield did a great job with the D linemen just rushing up the field. You could see Coach Tracy's new defensive mentality taking place. It's going to be an attacking defense. I'm really looking forward to that.
How about on the offensive side of the ball? What can we expect?
You could see a little bit different variation of the pistol. It's going to be a little bit more pro-style with the passing routes, but you're going to see a dominant run game, I think, this year. We did a good job last year, but now we're going to do a great job. Coach Mastro was running back coach of the year, and he's kind of our run game coordinator, so...
Well, in any level of football, I mean, to control the play, you've got to control the line, you've got to control the run. You have to work time off the clock and set up the pass. Mm-hmm. And the Bruins have experienced quarterbacking crew coming back, but you also have a high-profile recruit coming in, Brett Huntley, who's had a chance to work in spring with everybody. Tell us your thoughts about this young prospect.
I think everyone's excited about Brett. One of the things that you notice right away is that he's 17 years old, but already he's all of 6'3", 220 pounds. Athletically, he's a phenom, and he's got a great arm. Very smart kid, had a 4.0 GPA in high school. So we look forward to that. Now it's just about, it's a big transition from high school to the college level. So he's got to make that jump.
We talked about your evaluation of players for the NFL, for the Rams. Were you looking only at their athletic skills, or were you going into, I mean, we always hear about the Wunderlich and all the tests that the players coming out of college have to take. Was your focus on all of those things, or just on the athletic skills?
Well, I did summer evaluations, so that was before the Wunderlich. What you do get, though, is coaches' evaluations, so you read up articles that their own coaches are saying about them. At the same time, you want to see how well they've developed technique-wise in their 4 years, 3 years, and also their athletic ability. It's kind of a combination of both.
You know where I'm going with this. Now that you're looking at high school kids, mm-hmm. they make incredible strides both athletically and in personality in 10th, 11th, 12th grade. How hard is it to evaluate those kinds of intangibles?
Oh, it's tough, and that's why I think one of the things that we're doing great this year is staying as local as possible. And by that, you want to be an expert in what you know. For example, Coach Johnson might know 10 people very well in the inner city who know a kid, so he could get the total package of what he's about, strengths, weaknesses. You know, the more eyes, the better.
The conference goes to 12 teams this year, and the two teams that are joining have always recruited very heavily in Los Angeles, Utah and Colorado. You look at their rosters, half of the teams from L.A. Is that going to put more pressure on the Bruins to try to keep the kids local?
Oh, definitely. But it's just another challenge. You could argue both ways with USC being on probation that we got a break in that sense. But, you know, competition is good. And in the end, it generates more money for the Pac-12, makes us a more national conference.
And Larry Scott just signed a huge deal for the Pac-12.
Mm-hmm.
Got to get used to saying that in all the sports. And it's going to give great exposure to the conference in a way that it's never had before. That's got to be a great plus.
Oh, it is a huge plus. And especially when you could tell recruits about when you go over the amount of money that actually is being generated. And you say, you know, that money's got to go somewhere. It's going to go into the programs. It's going to go to the schools. And just gets kids fired up about that.
It's also got to be nice to sell the Rose Bowl as your home stadium. A mm-hmm. traditional great venue in college sports. They're doing a two-year upgrade of a lot of the facilities there. The Rose Bowl is something I imagine that opens a lot of recruits' eyes when they see it.
Oh, it definitely does. You know, you got the tunnels going in every single direction onto the field, which is great. The kids get to go onto the field and really check it out and see all the fans around them. It's kind of a special feeling. Most kids don't play in front of a crowd like that. And, you know, if they ever go into the locker rooms, that was a $7 million upgrade. So it's great to show them that as well.
Matt, tell us how you learned the X's and O's of evaluating players. You said you played football when you were younger, but it takes more than just playing to have that keen eye. How did you develop that?
You know, I really didn't develop it. I was fortunate enough to have people who were willing to teach me and be patient. At Miami, I had Jeff Statlin and Joe Panunzio, who really did a good job. I've had my cousins, who are both agents, tell me about how to go about it. And, you know, just sitting at home watching football with my father, I was fortunate to listen to him as well.
Well, UCLA is a program that's always been one of national prominence. I know a lot of the Bruin fans have been a little impatient the last couple of years. Things haven't worked out as well as expected, but the future is very bright for this program.
I think so. I'm really looking forward, especially with the new additions. We were very injury-prone last year, and we're going to be healthy this year. We're going to be a year older, and we expect a big season.
Let's talk about some of the incoming recruits who you think have a chance to make an impact.
You know, you're going to look up right away and you're going to see Brett Hungley is going to be the first person you bring up. And I could see him contributing. It's very rare that a quarterback starts his true freshman year. But if anyone could do it, it would be Brett.
Mm-hmm.
I'm very excited about the potential of a kid named Sam Tye. He was a D end out of Liberty High School in Nevada. And, you know, he's already gained 30 pounds since he's been here and has done a great job. Who knows where he'll be, you know. It's one of those positions where D linemen also usually wait a couple of years to develop.
Mm-hmm.
But on the offensive line, right away, you got some interesting guys. And one of them is Torian White, who I don't know if this will be the year, but he was a big get for us. He committed to USC and at the last second decommitted and signed with us. So I'm excited about those three guys.
The history of the offensive line, unfortunately, the last few years, the Bruins offensive line's been decimated by injuries. You get some players back this year, Ava's coming back. It's got to be nice to have some experience and some fresh young talent there.
It is. Good offensive lineman's everyone's best friend. And, you know, having Kai back is going to be huge. Having Stan Hasiak back is going to be huge. And I know Coach Palsik is just dying to have Xavier Suofilo come back.
Let's talk a little bit about living on the West Coast. I mean, you mentioned how you're gloating when you talk to your relatives, but you see yourself out here for a long time?
I don't see a reason to come back right now. I mean, one of the things is, I mean, I got my winter jacket hung up. I never even have to take care of it. Don't have to shovel snow anymore. But it's just the quality of life out here itself has been great. I'm talking about anything you ever need is at your fingertips in LA. And other than the traffic, I really have no complaints.
Well, what are your duties on a day-to-day basis? So tell us, take us through a typical day.
Well, right now we're in the evaluation period. So one of the things I'll start off doing is I meet with all the coaches, ask them what they saw on the road. We organize the transcripts, get them uploaded into our database, get those evaluated. Then we got to do everything from little things like mapping out an area. It could be something like that where it's like we got to hit 10 schools in a day. Or it could be something as filling out NCAA compliance forms. There really isn't a typical day in football because something jumps up and you have to take care of it then.
Well, one thing UCLA has always been very proud of is they do fill out the forms and they do comply with the NCAA regulations. That's a key part of the job, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very key part of the job. Without that, you don't have a program.
Like tiptoeing through a minefield.
That's exactly what it is. And you could do something that's harmless, and if you just phrase it wrong or, you know, if you write it out wrong, it looks like you're guilty. So it's very important to be diligent with your compliance forms and handling everything with the utmost care.
Matt, tell us about the feeling of you're going to see your guys run out of the tunnel with the blue and the gold helmets on, and all that work you put in is going to come out on the field. Tell us what that feeling is going to be like.
You know, it really is. When you're during the season, the average guy in the office is working about 100 to 120 hours a week at least. And to have that feeling when they run out of the tunnel, when they score on their first drive, you have a sense of, okay, this is what I was working for this entire time. And, you know, you got good people around you. And, you know, from a personal level, just as much as a professional level, you want to see the coaches around you succeed. So it's always a good feeling.
It's great to be talking about football. We got a little ways to go, but September is going to be here before we know it, and the Bruins will be taking the field at Houston. Matt Bernstein, pleasure meeting you, and best of luck in your career at UCLA.
Thank you.
And we thank you for joining us on another edition of UCLA Bruin Talk. We'll be back next week with another great show. Until then, so long from Westwood.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.